welcome everybody as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayetzeh. Let me try a Dvar Halacha followed by an Inyan of Hashkafa. We'll start with the Dvar Halacha. We find at the beginning of the Parsha that the sun goes down early so that Yaakov Avinu should sleep at Har HaMeria. Kivah HaShemesh. And the sun came down earlier than it would normally have come down. Parshas Vayishlach, the reverse happens. The sun stays out longer. After Yaakov is injured in his battle with the Sari Shel Esav, it says Vayishlach LeHashemesh, and Rashi brings the Medrash. Oysam Shoy Shemiyar Lishkaya, Bishvilai Gishiyotam Be'er Sheva. Those hours that the sun went out more quickly when they left Be'er Sheva, Mihara Lizrayach Bishvilai. For that, it stayed up longer here. That's what Rashi says later in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis. It's a very strange thing. Rashi seems to be saying that the hours that the sun that went down early in Parshas Vayetzeh had to be paid back at some point, and that's why it was paid back in Vayishlach. Why is that so? Do we find that by other miracles? The stone gave water in the Midbar. Do we find that at some point later the water had to go back into the stone to pay it back, so to speak? This needs some sort of an explanation. In order to explain this, I would like to share with you Rabbi Chanan writes in the Kodesh Shurim in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim. As a matter of fact, those of you who are Pesachim here in Tarav Hadas may remember, or at least your notes will remember, that we discussed this. Rabbi Chanan there has a clear. When we say that Seis HaKechavim is Vadei Laila, we say that night is certainly there when the stars come out. Is that a simin or a siba? Meaning to say, is it the darkness that makes it night? An amount of darkness such as you can see the stars, and that makes it night? Well, no. Maybe day and night is a continuing cycle, and it's independent. It depends on time. However, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, in order to let us know when it's night, set a motion in the heavens so that the sun and the stars tell us when it's night. The nafkamina between the two tzedadim of Rabbi Chanan's Kler is in a case where the sun goes down prematurely, such as it does here in Parshas Vayetzeh. If you learn that darkness makes it night, then when the sun went down, the stars came out. That became night, even though it was earlier than it would have been in the normal course of nature. But darkness makes it night. However, if you learn the second way, that it's only a simon. Night falls according to a pre-scheduled order of time. If the sun went down early, night still had not yet begun. It started later. People made a mistake. They thought night began. But actually, it didn't, because the sun went down early. Rabbi Chanan brings a raya to the second side, that the sun going down early and the stars coming out is only a simon. It's only a sign of day and night. This proof is from Parshas Bereishis, where you have Erev and Biker, night and day, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The sun and the stars were not created till Wednesday. Therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, it's only a simon. Therefore, if the sun goes down early, then the heavenly clock, the celestial clock, is off. Because people think it's night, but that night actually is starting later, at the time the sun was scheduled to go down, and the stars were scheduled to become visible. According to this Rabbi Chanan, we can understand this Rashi beautifully. The hours that the sun set prematurely in Parshas Vayetzeh have to be paid back. Because forever now, people, by looking at the sun, had a mistaken notion of when day and night was. Because the sun is like a clock that's off, like the handles of a clock, which are off from the correct time. And therefore, it had to be paid back later. And therefore, in Parshas Vayishlach, the hours were paid back, and the heavenly clock was reset accurately. This would explain the Rashi in Vayishlach. But wait, there's another kasha. Yaakov Avinu was misaking Tfilas Arvis at this point. When he davened at Har HaMeria, he was misaking the night davening, which is Arvis. It's strange. We have Shachris, Mincha, and Arvis. Shachris, we can only daven by day. can daven shachris at night. Mincha, you can only daven in the afternoon. You can't daven mincha in the morning. You can't daven at night. It has a defined boundary. Arvis is different. Arvis is supposed to be at night. The halacha works out, based on a sugya in brachas, that if someone needs to, he's allowed to daven arvis from plag hamincha up to an hour and a quarter before vaday laila. This is why, when Shabbos, when a person wants to make an early Shabbos, he can daven arvis at a earlier time than nightfall. You can't daven any time, but you can daven from plag up to an hour and a quarter early. Why should that be? Why should arvis, which Yaakov Avinu is nesakin as a tefillah of the night, be a tefillah which you can daven from plag hamincha, which you can daven when it's still day? According to what we're saying now, we can have a very geshmaka teretz. Yaakov Avinu came, the sun had gone down, and he davened his tefillah. He davened. He was in the second tefillah's arvis. He thought it was night. In truth, though, the sun had set early. Really, it was still day. And therefore, the first arvis was at a time that was intended to be night, but actually was still daytime. And so it remains for generations. Arvis is a tefillah of night, but if you want to daven b'ayim, you want to daven when it's still day, you can still daven earlier. This is my thought at the Bar Halacha on Parshas Vayetze. Let me move to a topic of Hashkafa. Someone asked me a question which really got me thinking, and I'd like to share with you a teretz to a difficult question. The question was asked as follows. We learn Asara Nisyainos Nisnasa Avraham Avinu V'Amad Bekulam. The greatness of Avraham is mentioned in a Mishnah in Perkei Avos, and Avraham withstood 10 Nisyainos. Why Avraham more than Yaakov? Yaakov himself had his own Asara Nisyainos. He had Saras with Esav, with Lavan, with Eliphaz stealing his money. He had Saras with Dina and with Yosef. He had many, many difficulties, and as a matter of fact, if you really want to add them up, and you take the Midrashim as well, you easily have 10. Why is it that by Avraham Avinu it is called an Nisayon, and by Yaakov we say he had tzaras, he had difficulties? What marks a tzara as opposed to a Nisayon? Now, before I answer, let me point out that every tzara really is a Nisayon. What we mean here is something which stands out as a special Nisayon. And we're using the word Nisayon in that loose way. What is special about Avraham Avinu's 10 Nisayonos? And how does that influence our lives? When is something a Nisayon? And when a Tzara, which happens to also be a Nisayon? There's a Baal Shem Tov, which is quoted, I don't know the original source, but it's quoted in numerous places. There's some cipher at the end of Parshas Vayera says the same idea. And the idea is the following. The Samsaifa asks why the Akedah is called a Nisayon of Avraham Avinu. Why not a Nisayon of Yitzchak Avinu? Very similar kasha to the kasha we're asking. And he defines the Nisayon as follows, and this has a source in the writing of the Baal Shem. He says that a true Nisayon occurs when a person has a tzara, and at the very same time, there's a removal of a sense of the Bayrei Olam. There's a removal of a feeling of Hashgacha Pratis. Sometimes a person has a tzara and he has a feeling that God is angry at him, that God is not happy with him, or that the Rabbi Nishlom is distant from him. That feeling comes with a difficulty when it's meant to be a Nisayon, a defining moment in a person's life, a defining moment in a person's achievements. This comes at a time that is Hester Panim, where he doesn't have a sense of the Bayrei Olam. It says that when Avraham went to the Akedah, Vayares Hamakei Meirachik, which is translated B'derech Trush, Vayares Hamakei, he saw God Meirachik, as if God is very distant. He didn't have a sense of the Bayrei Olam in the way he normally did. That defines a Nisayon. Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, when he's heading to the house of love, and the Rabbi Shalom comes to him in a dream, and he says, "Anaychi imach shmarticha b'chalash u'teilech, v'ashi v'aysicha lo adam azayis, ki lo e'ezavcha, I won't abandon you." When a person has a sense of the Rabbi Shalom with him, it's a tzara, it's also a type of Nisayon. But it's not the type such as the Asara Nisayonis of Avraham Avinu. It's an important idea to have. There are times when a person feels, kiviyachol, as if God is hiding from him, God is unhappy with him. God is distant. When you have that feeling, you should know it's a time, an opportunity to achieve greatness, to achieve a tremendous madrega. Because that Nesayin is a Nesayin Me'en, the Nesayinis of Avraham Avinu, of great people. A quick question and answer. As we know, Rachel stole the truff of the Avodah Zarah. Instead of doing what we would do, dumping it into the ocean, or throwing it to the sea, she took it with her, she kept it with her. The question is why? Why did she keep it with her? What does she want with an Avodah Zarah? It's Asa Bahana. This question is asked by the Divrei Yael, the Satmar Rebbe on the Parsha. And he says that Rachel knew how to be metayer, the Avodah Zarah, how to make it mutar bahana, how to remove the klipos of tumah from it. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah describes a method by which an Avodah Zarah could be made mutar bahana through bittul. And she knew how to do it. And because she knew how to do it, that was her plan. So she held the Avodah Zarah with her all along. The question is, would we do that? Would we want to have benefits from the Avodah Zarah? So strange. The answer I'll share with you, Ibn Yisachar in Chaydish Av. The Yisachar writes regarding a very practical question. If you have something treif that falls into a pot of kosher food in a manner in which it's bottled b'shishin, it's less than 1/60th of the soup, and therefore becomes mutter, a spritz of milk falls into a soup, it's less than 1/60th, the Rav tells you it's mutter. Is there an inyan to not eat it? After all, it has something non-kosher in it. And this is a shaila in the Bishrei Tshuva, and he brings that it's good to be machmir not to eat it, and that the Nesivis dismissed that opinion and said no, on the contrary, the Torah says it's mutter, it's certainly mutter. But the Yisrael goes a step further. He says that it's a maila, it's a benefit to actually eat something that was treif and was batel. Now you're not allowed to do it deliberately, but if it happened in a mutterdika way, that Isser became kosher, that kabbalistically is called klipay shenetaru, things that were tame and now became tar. Under such circumstances, the item becomes actually better than had it never become tame. If therefore a person should eat that type of food, this would explain why Rachel Dafka wanted Avodah Zarah to be metayer the Avodah Zarah and to thereby make the Avodah Zarah into something usable. Klipush in the Taro, it's like B'makim Shabbat Shuvah Aymed and Kaladam Aymed. Something that was on the other side and became tar is on a higher level. So this would explain what occurred. I'm assuming that Rachel understood it was not a dangerous sakana to hold the Avodah Zarah. Even if Lavan had found it, he would not have killed his children over stealing it. But nevertheless, I'm coming to answer not the question of any type of danger, the question of why she was the Avodah Zarah. As our brief time together comes to an end this Thursday, I'd like to end with a tremendous difficulty. The Rambam in the Laws of Schiras, Hilchos Schiras, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Zayin, says the following connected to this week's parasha. He talks about an employee. The obligation of an employee to his employer, says the Rambam, Chayiv La'avayit B'chol Kaychay. A person has to work for his employer with all his energy. Shaharei Yaakov Atzadik Omer Ki B'chol Kaychay Avadati Es Avichen. In this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu says, B'chol Kaychay Avadati Es Avichen. I worked for your father with all my energy. And therefore, says the Rambam, that's the way an employee has to work. It's a pillar. Yaakov Avinu, the Bachir Shabbat Avai, certainly did things with Nimishur Sadin. As a matter of fact, the context of the Pasuk is saying that what he did is something extraordinary, something out of the ordinary, not something that people ordinarily do. How can we learn from there that every employee is Chayav Lavai B'chol Kaychay? Very, very difficult to understand. Even the halach is hard to understand. The employee has to work normally. B'chol Kaychay. Seems to be a difficulty in the Rambam. Look it up. Siras Parakut Gimel Halacha Zayin. And with that, I'm ready to say good Shabbos. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos. The Parsha Sayyidzeh.